Hey, how's the weather? Do you think it'll rain? Is it hot enough for you? You know, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Everywhere you turn, people are talking about the weather. The thing is, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 129 of the Resilient Journey podcast, presented by the Resilience Think Tank. This week, we are pleased to welcome Stacy St. Preux to the Resilient Journey as we begin a two-part Polycrisis podcast event. Mark and Stacy talk about climate change, severe weather, and even tacos. Climate change is an active player in the polycrisis world. Stacy explains the impact that severe weather could have on your supply chain. She adds that our infrastructure isn't equipped to handle the weather that's coming. And yes, she says it's time for those of us in the resilience industry to do something about it.
Stacy, welcome to the podcast. This is exciting. We have not yet talked about weather or climate or anything on the podcast, so this is a first. But before we get to that, just take a minute and introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Mark. I'm super excited to be here. I'm Stacy St. Preux, Senior Industry Manager and Meteorologist with StormGeo. We met at the Disaster Recovery Journal conference in spring, so it was an opportune meeting. Before StormGeo and being in sales, I worked as a flight planner and forecaster. Meteorology and weather are some of my favorite all-time things to do, so I'm glad I got to get my degree in that from Texas A&M University. Worked in flight planning and forecasting for 3 years, and then unfortunately COVID happened, so not a lot of people were traveling, and I was let go. But, you know, not for long. I was hired right in the middle of 2020 by StormGeo and got to transition over to this side. I'm an oldest daughter, military brat. I don't know. What else do you want to know?
Oh, I got a question about Texas A&M. Is Texas A&M also a military school?
Yes, it started as a military school. It was a huge ROTC. It's still huge there now, but it started off as, you know, military base, but now it's a whole lot more. I think in the 60s is when it was opened up for people who didn't want to join the military, which I appreciate. I did not, even though I grew up in that, I did not want to join the military. I didn't want somebody to tell me where and where I couldn't live. I knew I wanted to be in Texas and Houston specifically, so I'm glad I got to choose that for myself. But I still wanted, you know, the closeness of the military because it was familiar. So it was very, very, very nice. All those same traditions that I grew up with were there at that university.
I want to talk about StormGeo here just a little bit. And first of all, I don't say this very often on the podcast, but I am so jealous that you're a meteorologist. I told you in Orlando, that was something I was always interested in. I've been fascinated by weather since I was old enough to really put two and two together. But let's just start with StormGeo. The website says that StormGeo is at the heart of two of the strongest trends in the 21st century. That's climate change and digitalization. I understand climate change, but what do you mean by digitalization? And what does all of that mean, like in practical terms?
Yeah. So first of all, StormGeo is a global weather kind of provider, intelligence provider, and business decision guidance company. It's more than just, hey, it's going to rain. It's how deep is the water going to be where I'm standing, right? Can I operate safely and efficiently through this type of weather? And digitalization, as in as practical terms as I can put it, we're in the cloud, right? We're not just papers that you have to print out. We're taking your current processes or clients' current processes and putting them into a digital format so that way it's more efficient, hopefully for them, as well as sustainable. We are a part of the UN Global Compact for Sustainability. So it's a big focus for us here at StormGeo. We want to make sure that it's not only efficient, not only saving you money, but also very sustainable. So we work based on URLs, custom URLs or custom web pages for our clients. You don't have to print out anything or download anything or even have hardware installed or software installed or hardware installed for the information. It's all right on a modern web browser.
What are some of the use cases for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, maybe the client is based in, say, the US or Houston, but that part of their supply chain is in the Caribbean or part of their supply chain is across the world. And they need to, you know, focus on, hey, what weather is going to impact them? Is that going to slow down my supply chain? Is it going to slow down a product getting to me if there's hurricane season going on and it's really intense or really really frequent hurricanes coming in. We offer lots of forecasting tools as well as customizable solutions and forecasts to help you plan around any of these possibilities, right, or probabilities. And then I think what is our most valuable is our people, right? So I'm a meteorologist, but I just happen to be on the sales team. But majority of the company at Storm Geo are meteorologists first, and then they just happen to be placed wherever. So we have a 24/7, 365 team of meteorologists ready to answer any and every question you could have. And we have long range forecasters that'll answer your season outlook questions or your hurricane outlook questions. We have tropical focused and maybe more severe weather. So anything that doesn't happen over the tropics focused team that again are just there to talk to you about weather, answer any of your questions.
Well, everybody likes to talk about the weather and nobody likes to do anything about it. So, here we are. So, feedback I get about the podcast is that listeners prefer specifics rather than sort of general terms. So, let's see if we can drill this down a little bit. It's one thing to talk about climate change, but it's another thing to talk about the practical impact of climate change. So, climate change by itself isn't going to cause a business disruption, but climate change could lead to an increased risk of extreme weather, and that certainly could have impact on a business operation. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about the likelihood of the higher risk of extreme weather and what are some of the trends maybe you've been seeing in that area.
I think you're right on. Like, climate change can increase that risk of extreme weather and cause business disruptions. It's not a one-time event. It's overtime event, right? So for example, a warmer climate holds more water. More water can be dumped over land, right? So now places that weren't really flooding are flooding. Places that infrastructure hasn't caught up to yet are flooding. I mean, just look for an example would be the back-to-back-to-back atmospheric rivers that dumped over California, right? They're not used to that. Now, the snow that fell on their on the northern parts with their ski resorts were probably really lucky for that, but it's not snow pretty much anywhere else along that coast. And they're not prepared for that type of water, that amount of water to fall in that short amount of time. So that's one. Climate change could definitely be seen in that. Or you could look at maybe places with longer droughts. Houston, for example, just recently went through a drought last summer. We had no rain, and it was probably the hottest summer I've ever experienced in Texas, in just my short 7 years here. And man, it was so brown and everything. And hopefully that's not what it's going to be like this summer, but you have to prepare. So what does that look like? How do you prepare for it to be the hottest summer? Do you have workers that work outside? Do I need to change our threshold on if they need to work outside? Do I need to know that it is going to be a prolonged drought this year or for however many years, right? So those are some of the kind of practical things we see trending more as we go out throughout the years. Also, I want to point out too, climate has already changed, right? You can already point to different events that have already happened that you've experienced or that you've seen in your life that you're like, oh, that didn't used to happen when I was this old or this age. When I was in school, I didn't experience that. Or maybe it was less frequent, maybe it's very rare, and now it's the frequency has increased. And you can actually see that just in your experiences as well.
No, you're exactly right. The week after this podcast, this episode goes, we're talking with Regina Phelps, who is a long time member of our industry. And one of the things she's been talking about a lot lately, and we'll talk about next week, is polycrisis and multiple things happening at the same time. And you mentioned infrastructure, and coincidentally, as a tease, next week she's going to talk about infrastructure as well. So let's tie that a little bit together from your perspective. We'll let her talk about it next week from her perspective, but from your perspective, climate change, drought, extreme heat, and then you also talked about the ability of the infrastructure to handle rain and different things like that. So my question finally here is going to be for things like in Texas, we know that the electrical grid infrastructure is not new.
Right.
And so we have these sort of polycrisis risks. So what are some of your recommendations then for business continuity professionals when it comes to, you know, really practical terms about thinking about climate change in terms of business operations?
Yeah, so I think we need to prepare for the weather we currently have, right? Because I think a lot of our drills or tabletop exercises that we're doing are really just focused on the weather of the past or the weather that we've experienced. And it doesn't really focus on adapting for the weather that we are experiencing that is more extreme, that is more intense, but also not adapting to the weather that we're going to see in 5 to 10 years, which I think is what we should really be focused on, right? And your response plan shouldn't be static. I think that is even more dangerous than having no response plan. Just having that foresight to look forward and to actually look at what weather are we experiencing right now, and to not get lost, I guess, kind of lost in the sauce where it's like, oh, that weather's never happened before, I'd never have to prepare for it. Well, I think it's better to prepare for it and it never happen, right, than to not have any plan or any idea of how you're going to react and it happens. Fact I love to share just to get people in that thought is, you know, a tornado has happened in all 50 states. Not saying that tornadoes happen everywhere all the time, but it can happen, right? It happened in the mountains in California, or in Boulder City is the most recent one I can think of, that it's a weak tornado, fine, but it's still a tornado. And for people that have not experienced that, you're like, what do I do? You just stand and stare at it, right? Or like, even, I know it's not weather, but the natural disaster, we had an earthquake in the Northeast. They're not used to earthquakes, right? But if you had a plan for that, you're like, okay, I already know what this is. I know what to do. I already have steps in my response plan that address this, even though we were hoping it didn't happen. We were prepared anyway.
My favorite tornado quote is that a tornado on TV is a tornado on TV until it lands in your backyard. And we really need to think about, you know, what the practical implications are of this weather. You talked about preparing for weather, you know, that we're currently experiencing, but then you said you anticipate it to be even more dramatic. And I was surprised to hear your time frame. You said 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I think what we were talking about, or, you know, we're still talking about climate change as it's going to happen in the future, right? But I want to reiterate, climate has changed already. We're living right smack dab in the middle of it. And the storms or the events we thought were going to happen in 30 years are now either on top of us or the shortened amount of time span in the next 5 to 10 years. Heck, look at this hurricane season, right? It's already coming out from every kind of weather provider, weather outlet, that it's going to be a really active season. Why is that? Well, sea surface temperatures are hotter than ever. I mean, we were experiencing the temperatures in, gosh, early in March, April. Those same sea surface temperatures weren't present, you know, last year until June. So we're already seeing summer sea surface temperatures in early spring. And that's, you know, not an anomaly. That it's the trend we're seeing, that's what we're seeing going forward. What does that transition between El Nino to La Nina look like? Is it more intense? And I think the answer is yeah. Yeah, it is, definitely.
One of the things that frustrates me, I mentioned that I'm a weather fan, I'm a weather buff. I like to follow, I like to pay attention to low pressure systems and, you know, all of this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So I get frustrated when people I talk to don't know the difference between a watch and a warning.
Yes.
And it's important. They're not the same thing. And you had a taco reference. Please tell that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the ways my professors helped us learn to explain to people the differences. So for example, you're going to make tacos, right? That night, you're going to buy all the ingredients, the tortillas, the cheese, the sour cream, the guac, the meat, if it's ground beef or ground turkey, whatever, right? You have all of those ingredients. Well, a watch would be all the ingredients are in the area, but they're not combined yet. You wouldn't call that a taco, right? It's just cheese or tortillas. It's just the ingredients. A warning, however, is that there are tacos fully formed kind of in the area. The ingredients are put together and they're in the area. That would be a warning that, you know, it's there. We have all the ingredients. You have a taco that the ingredients have come together to have a taco,
A
right?
taco is imminent. A
Yes,
taco is
exactly.
imminent.
A taco is imminent. And if you don't like tacos, we've done it with cake before, or, you know, just whatever food related ingredients you like.
Well, if you don't like tacos, you can stop listening to the podcast. We can't be friends.
Exactly.
And then what? I guess if there's hot sauce, it would be like a severe taco warning.
Man, yeah, it would probably be multiple tornadoes. I just saw the Twisters trailer and they had twins, so that might be the hot sauce one.
There you go. There you go. I know we're way off topic here, but I do want to ask you something, because one of the things that's happening, we're in Toronto, and I'm north of Toronto, and we're in a snow belt. And we get hit with a lot of lake effect snow. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole of what causes lake effect snow, although I could explain it to you. Well, one of the things we're seeing is a very high degree of warnings, weather alerts, a severe weather statement. And it happens all year round. It can happen in the winter for snow or for severe thunderstorms in the summer. And then nothing happens. We get no weather at all. And I would like your opinion as to whether you think that that is detrimental. If we're over warning to the point where the sky is falling and then nothing happens, and then people ignore the warnings.
So that's an interesting question. On one hand, I think they do that, or I think it's important they do that for people to pay attention, right? You know, if you just get one and they're like, you know, I've experienced this before, right? Or I lived here this many years, this warning's not going to mean anything, I'm not going to pay attention to it. Then you run the risk of being caught and that weather actually happens, right? So for your national services to provide these types of warnings where it's kind of over and over, even the TV sources that have it, that are over and over again, I think they're erring on the side of caution, like very, very cautious. They need people to pay attention. Whereas if it's, say, so for general population, I would say it's important to have that to get people to pay attention. You know, getting people to care is super hard, especially when it comes to weather events. Now, on the flip side of this, I do think it can be detrimental if you're using that to make business decisions. If that's all you have to make a business decision, it's not enough, right? It's a little overhyped. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for, like, what is the probability that it does happen, and what is the probability that it doesn't, and what if it's just smack dab in the middle that it's bad, but not as bad as was being forecast, right? But I need to pay attention anyway because it is being put out. My employees are seeing this, etc. But they need to know, can we operate safely even though it's happening, or something like that. So I think it's detrimental on that side. Does that make sense?
I think it it kind of goes back to, well, what are you going to do with the information? And to be aware that it is, a possibility. Perhaps maybe you could use it to change certain personal plans or things like that. But it's really interesting. Let's shift to the digitalization for a minute. It's part of Storm Geo's DNA. How do you use climate data to provide insights to your customers? You alluded to it a little bit, but let's talk in practical terms.
Absolutely. So we kind of use climate data moving forward with customers to help them prepare for more intense weather. Like I said, if it's a longer drought or if it's heavier rainfall than normal, we let them know, hey, you know, this is what we're seeing. And it's that human touch in it with that climate data to let them know, hey, this is our outlook. This is what we think you should do to prepare. This is what we're seeing could happen in the next year, the next 3 months, 6 months, season, 90 days, or even the next year, and go through those conversations with those. What does that practically look like? Or we have a business continuity manager who is also a meteorologist walk through, hey, this is what we think you should add in your response plan, or maybe we should test this response plan and find this hole, right? Based on our trends that we're seeing with this climate data, and making sure we're filling those holes and making sure it's adaptive enough that they can change if they need to.
You know, I love what you said there, because it's going to come up, I'm sure, next week with Regina as well. We need, as business continuity professionals, we need to be looking at things differently. We cannot ignore the trends that we're seeing. the weather is changing. The infrastructure is old. Supply chain risks are there. Cyber risks are there. There are so many different things.
Yeah.
And if you're a business continuity professional, and this is becoming sort of a theme here of what I've been talking about lately, if you're a business continuity professional and you're bored, then your eyes are closed, because you cannot be living in 2024 and be bored about it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of that interconnectivity. You mentioned supply chain earlier, and I just did as well. What's the link between climate change and severe weather and potential supply chain disruptions?
Yeah, so we kind of work along, StormGeo works along all probably points of the supply chain, whether that's where the good is manufactured to it, the transportation and logistics of that good getting to its end destination or to the end product. It impacts everything, right? That severe weather, for example, we have this active hurricane season across the Atlantic. Well, if my good is coming from across the Atlantic or going, I need to be prepared that that ship's going to be, needs to be rerouted around some of the most intense storms across the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. Well, where is that hurricane going? Is it coming up the east coast of the US, and is the port going to be damaged before I even get there? Or can I make it out of port before the storm makes it, right? Do I need to focus on that? Or maybe one example that one of my colleagues used is, say your location is here in Houston, but one of your suppliers is in Lake Charles. We've seen in the past Lake Charles get hit twice by two hurricanes, you know, kind of back to back. It was Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Delta. They need to know that they're going to be impacted and maybe come up with a backup plan, right? Where's another supplier they can get that's out of hurricane territory? You know, is it somewhere in the Midwest? Is it somewhere in the West Coast that's not going to get hit as frequently by hurricanes as the Gulf Coast is? So I think preparing for types of weather that maybe isn't just local, right? So maybe my company's here local, but my supply chain is in India. I need to focus, what's their monsoon season going to be like? That's definitely touched on by climate change. Or heck, the heat over there in India, the infrastructure is still not caught up. Some of the roads were melting because it was so hot over there. And then going right into a monsoon season where you have floods, is the manufacturing plant over there going to be flood out? Or are the people going to be able to even get to their jobs? Or are their homes going to be safe? You know, going way back, we're not focused on them getting to jobs to do their work. Now we're focused on their safety. Are they, you know, even going to have a home to go back to? Can they have time to prepare for their homes to be safe from this extreme weather? So every point of that supply chain will be impacted and has been impacted. We've seen currently and just moving forward, it's going to be a huge player in that. And again, like you said, if we're not adapting to it, if we're just kind of bored in it, then we're not paying attention.
Yeah, we're not paying attention for sure. And I think it's up to us as resilience professionals to start those conversations, get with your supply chain people and start asking some of those questions, or get with your technology teams. For example, you mentioned India, and I know a lot of organizations are using coders and developers and things like that working out of India or working out of parts of Europe or wherever, where severe weather could impact their ability to do that work. It doesn't even have to be a product being shipped. It could be a service being provided.
Exactly.
Whether it's a call center or whatever it is. And yeah, we need to be thinking along those lines. You said that the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season is projected to be active. What details are we projecting and what are you hearing?
Yeah, so we are transitioning it's forecast we're transitioning between an El Nino and La Nina year. What that means just in plain terms is that the Pacific waters are cooling, meaning the Atlantic waters will warm up. As you can already see, we're already seeing high sea surface temperatures. You know, those sea surface temperatures are already reaching summer levels of heat, or at least last year's summer levels of heat. The last thing I think we need to kind of forecast that we're waiting to see, a lot of models are not agreeing on it quite yet, is that Azores Bermuda high. It's that high that sits right over the Atlantic Ocean. Depending on if it's stronger, it'll push a lot of storms over to the west, so through the Caribbean and through the Gulf. If it's a little weaker, a lot of those storms will curve around it and hopefully go out to sea and not impact the East Coast as much, which is what we kind of experienced last year. We also had a lot of shear last year. So even though the water was really hot, we had a lot of shearing and instability and hurricanes couldn't form. But unfortunately this year, we're not going to have that. We're going to have, pretty much everything you need to make a really, really good hurricane, and really intense ones as well. So we're expecting in the 20s of named storms. I think
Wow.
Storm Geo put out, I think, 21. We're expecting 21 named storms. And a few, hopefully not as many. As a person, I'm hoping it's not as many major hurricanes, but as a meteorologist, it'll be interesting to watch just how many major hurricanes are going to be seen for this season.
Now, an average year, I think there's 14-ish named storms, something like that.
Right. Yeah.
And
We're
maybe
expected to
two or
blow
three
past it.
majors. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So basically people are out shopping for tacos right now. And yeah, all of the ingredients are starting to come together.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's a fun question for you.
Okay.
I hope you think it's fun. So if you were to speak at a public event, there are so many options of this for you.
Yeah.
And you could select a song that would be played, as you're walking to the podium. What song are you going to pick and
Yes.
why?
So you would think I would have a weather song, which I probably do, but it wasn't one of my top choices. For me now, I think my top choice would be Float by Janelle Monáe. If you haven't heard it, definitely give it a listen. I love it. Heard it live. It's just as incredible. But I
Okay.
think I chose that song because I think it captures my growth from not so confident in what I do or what I say, to becoming more secure in myself. I wouldn't say I'm fully 100% secure in myself just yet, but I think I'm becoming that way. The first line is, one of the first lyrics is, "I used to walk into the room head down, but now I don't walk, I just float." So I think that's perfect. And then because I'm a huge Disney nerd, another song I'd probably choose would be Stand Out by from the movie, a Goofy movie, the first one. Super huge fan of Goofy movie, and Stand Out is something I wish I could always do and always remember. I'd love to stand out and not be a part of the flow or, blend into the status quo. I'd like to stand out.
I really love what you said. I love the float reference. I love the fact that you talked about increasing in confidence as we go through our careers. And so many people struggle with that. And I don't think we realize how much of us almost feel like that they're going through a little bit of imposter syndrome. And so the words of encouragement there are, walk into the room like you own it, or as you said, float.
Absolutely.
Love that. Love that. Stacey, it's been great having you here. The time's up already. I can't believe it. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn at Stacy Saint Dash Prue. There is a dash in my name. Or you can email me. I'll spell it out. Saint Prue is not really common. It's STACI dot SAINT dash P as in Paul, REUX as in Xavier at stormgeo.com.
And I like that because I'm glad you spelled it out because a lot of times you say, well, your name is, Saint something. People think it's ST period,
Right.
and it's not. And I love the uniqueness of it. I love that you were at DRJ. I love the adjacency of weather and climate change to the business resilience industry. And I'm glad we met there.
Likewise.
And you got to watch me do an improv presentation one
Yes.
night and
And it was so good. You were right on with all of the slides. I think you were probably one of the best I saw that conference.
No, that was a lot of fun, and a huge thanks to James and Alex over there at Speak and Spark. They threw on that improv speaking thing. Hey, Stacy, lots of fun. I'm in the mood for tacos.
Same. I think I'm going to have that for dinner
That's
tonight.
what I'm doing as well. Thank you
Perfect.
so much. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We'd like to thank Stacy St. Preux for being our guest this week and talking about climate change, severe weather, and of course, tacos. The Resilient Journey is a Resilience Think Tank production. Next week, we continue our focus on polycrisis as Mark is joined by industry icon Regina Phelps. Mark and Regina talk about failing infrastructure and what that might mean to your business. So join us, won't you, as we continue our resilient journey. No, I'm not the same.